Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. Today is Wednesday, August 18th at 4:30 p.m. sharp. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
Jimmy Close Up.
Jimmy Close Up. I can't wait to see the angle in which you're shooting.
It's a terrible angle. I mean, I have no choice.
I got a bad angle, too. I got the little belly in right now.
Well, I just have my hat. I look like a floating hat that I'm eating a microphone.
That's
the microphone's
probably better.
Blocking my face.
That's probably better. We should say, for those listening in podcast mode only, we are doing a video version of the podcast now and hopefully into the future.
It's going to take some time to get it right.
We're currently in the same room. Let me see. I'm gonna do this for the people. Oh, that's my hand on the camera. Here I am, close up, and here's Jimmy sitting in the corner. And there is my board of photos of my family and friends. I have a lot of family and friends for anyone listening and watching. I have a lot of people that love me, and
it's all himself photoshopped. <in every photo.
laughs> None of the photos are me. Okay, and now I just messed up the camera, but we're good. So yeah, people watching in the video will get to see my belly, but they'll also get to see my awesome Arsenal training top.
That is very nice.
I use this to dry my tears after every game, just like every other Arsenal purchase. But anyways, Jimmy, exciting stuff. We're recording video. We're recording our Premier League preview podcast, part one of TBD how many, because these can get long. And three, we've partnered up with our friends over at Vendetta Sports Media, and they're going to help us promote the show, edit the show, which we're not known for doing ever. So this will actually be a first where a podcast has been edited, and, I'm excited to revamp the podcast, give life to it, Jimmy.
This is like version two.
Version two.
It took 4 years, but we moved to version two.
It took you 3 years to buy a microphone, an actual microphone. Took me about two. And at year four, we're actually going to start trying to promote the podcast. Some might say 4 years too late. For us, we're just getting started.
Yeah. Some may say, why?
Some may ask why you've wasted so much time. And for that, we don't have an answer, so we're just going to get right into it. For anyone who doesn't know, our Premier League podcast episodes, usually we have folks who support each of the clubs in the Premier League send in an audio clip, tell us a little bit about the club, history, why we should support the club. And it's basically just, if you're a fan who doesn't know who to support for this upcoming or current Premier League season, it's a little... here you go. It's an attaboy.
The elevator pitch.
It's the elevator pitch is what I was looking for. Not an attaboy, which really doesn't make sense. That's someone telling you good job. But see our... I don't know, man. We're just fucking spitballing here. But anyways, Jimmy, we have about half of the teams right now.
Yes.
So I want to ask you where you want to go first. But I have an idea of where I want to go first.
I'm going to defer to you. I want to say, as always, you've done a marvelous job trying to pull people together. So I think we can go with your pick. I can guess a few places you may want to go, but I'm going to let you pick first. Lead us into the Attaboys.
The Attaboys. That's what this episode would be called if it wasn't just a Premier League preview already. All right, so first Attaboy. We're going to go with Arsenal, of course, because... Shocker. We have a great friend of the podcast. We have Jasper William Cartwright of the Three Black Halflings podcast, a D&D podcast. He's a massive Arsenal fan. We've had him on the podcast before, and he was fantastic. But Jimmy, let's hear from Jasper. I'm excited for this one.
As am I.
Hello there, Mostly Soccer Podcast, or as I would refer to you, the Mostly Football Podcast. It's me, Jasper William Cartwright from Three Black Halflings, a previous guest of the show. I'm back here to give you a little preview of Arsenal this season. That's right, I'm talking Arsenal for the next few minutes and tell you what is up with my glorious and oh-so-troubling club. A little bit of background and history on Arsenal Football Club. It was founded in 1886 and has won a total of 13 league titles, including one unbeaten title, 14 FA Cups, 2 League Cups, 16 Community Shields, the League Centenary Trophy, 1 European Cup Winners' Trophy, and 1 Intercities Fairs Cup. I don't even know what that last one is, but apparently we won it. We currently hold the record for the most wins in the FA Cup. We're the most successful team in the FA Cup, which is a sort of interleague tournament for any of you that don't know. So yes, a hugely rich and successful club that operates out of the Emirates Stadium in North London. It is my favourite club. I love this club. I have supported this club all of my life, during most of which the main man himself, Arsene Wenger, was in charge. Arsene Wenger came into charge and in 1996 when I was 2 years old and left in 2018. During that time, we experienced a whole lot of success, including said unbeaten run, which we went a whole season without losing a single match and got given a glorious golden trophy, which no one else has managed to replicate, no matter how good those teams are, and they'll never take it away from us because we were the first. But to bring it on to this season and more recent Arsenal history, last season and a few seasons now, we've been a little bit underwhelming, to say the least. We did manage to win an FA Cup a couple seasons ago, but now, last season, we, under Mikel Arteta, with his first full season in charge, it was a little bit underwhelming. We struggled to get Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, our star striker, firing, and we only managed to finish in eighth place. We also got knocked out of the Europa League in the semi-final stage, which was a little bit disappointing. But we decided to keep our faith with Mikel Arteta, believing that his brand of football, the things that he could bring, would be enough to see us through. And so we have stuck with Mikel Arteta. And, you know, I like to think things are looking up in this new season. We've brought in Ben White, a very talented young centre-back. I believe he's 23, 24 years of age. He just got into the England squad for the Euros, although he didn't play. He was there and in and around it. And a lot of people were saying he was the one that had impressed them the most. So a good signing in Ben White, I think. We've also picked up two very talented youngsters, 21 years of age each, I believe, in Nuno Tavares and Sambi Lokonga. Sambi Lokonga is a midfield general, a bit of a Partey type, another player that we have. Tavares will be finally provide some backup for Kieran Tierney at left back, so we can stop playing Granit Xhaka there. Granit Xhaka, another interesting one, recently did a bit of a U-turn on his contractual situation. Looked like he was dead set to join Jose Mourinho's Roma over in Italy before the deal fell through without them managing to hit our valuation of the player. So there is still a lot of work to do this summer. We're in a bit of an overhaul in terms of the squad. We are looking to bring in a number 10. We have been linked with the likes of Houssam Aouar, Martin Ødegaard, who spent the last 6 months on loan at Arsenal, and James Maddison. This really would be a blockbuster signing for Arsenal if we could get that one over the line, especially when you look at the other way that other teams are strengthening this year. It is wild. You've got Grealish going over to City. Looks like Chelsea are going to re-sign Lukaku, so getting someone like James Maddison in would really, really be a huge boon for us. And like I said before, we struggled to get Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, our star striker, firing on all cylinders, and we need him to start scoring goals. Best way you can do that is stick a player behind him who has got the most recorded chances created other than Kevin De Bruyne in the league. That's a pretty good stat, and I like it, so let's go and get James Maddison across the line. So if you are a newcomer to Arsenal Football Club, it's a strange but exciting time to support this wonderful and historied club. We have some incredibly exciting young talents in Bukayo Saka, Emile Smith-Rowe, Gabriel Martinelli, just to name a few. We've got a very young squad overall. Like I said, Ben White is very young. Gabriel Mahelas, our other centre-back, is very young. Even Nicola Pepe, another one of our star players, still yet to see the best out of him, and I think this really could be his season. So I would say if you are a newcomer, this is one of the classiest and one of the most established clubs in English football, so you really can't go wrong with us. And if you stick with a few more years of her, I've got some very, very, very good feeling that under Mikel Arteta in the next couple of years, we can start to do some really, really big things. And hey, you'll see us win trophies, you'll see us win an FA Cup at some point in the next few years, because that's just what we do. Whereas if you go across the pot, you know, if you go across North London over to Tottenham, you ain't going to see them win anything. Plus, they're losing Harry Kane, so, you know, couldn't help but have a little dig at Tottenham there. But anyway, So I hope you enjoy the upcoming season. I hope that you enjoy their Mostly Soccer podcast. And most importantly, I hope you support the Gunners in this upcoming season. Come on, you Gunners.
Yes, Jasper. Jimmy, I loved it.
I love the positivity. I will say
this was pre-first game.
It is pre-first game. Ben White feelings may have changed.
No,
because I do want to point out on our last episode you called him the potential signing of the summer.
Potential.
And then
keyword.
To you texting me after the game saying Brighton robbed us blind. So I do love the positivity that it seems like all Arsenal fans have for 1 second before the season starts. And within minutes of the game, it goes right down the tubes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm, you know, if we recorded this post Friday versus Brentford, I'd probably have some different feelings. I would tell anyone listening to the podcast to find another team. But Jasper got me fired up. What I like about what Jasper said was he said a word that describes Arsenal perfectly, Jimmy. It's class. Class. It's what you Manchester City folk don't have. It's what the Chelsea and Tottenham folk don't have. Arsenal are... The English refer to us as posh, I believe. I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's...
I can't take you.
I'm a little posh boy, and I think... it's an attaboy of sorts, calling me a posh boy, but I don't know. I think Arsenal is just, they're a classy club. They're run in a classy manner. I don't know. I'm really just lying at this point. We're just as bad as every other team. We tried to join the European Super League. I love Arsenal to death. We have the best merch. That's something that I can tell you as a new fan, that if you're in it for the fashion, Arsenal is the way to go. You don't want to end up like Jimmy having to wear that Puma stuff.
Oh, God. The
right, graphic tees.
You were right on that, on all around. That third kit for City released today.
Awful.
That t-shirt that they're putting out there.
It's a graphic tee.
That's the t-shirt that you'd buy when you get, like, you can't get the real jersey, but they have, like, the knockoff jersey at, like, Target that you find on the back shelf. So that's what that looks like. That's rough.
It's really bad. Arsenal do have the best merch. We have the best-looking squad in the Premier League. That's also a fact, led by the best-looking manager. Not that any of that stuff matters, because what we put on the pitch lately is so terrible. You know, being an Arsenal fan is a very roller coaster experience. If you want to feel all the emotions, extreme joy, extreme sadness, the lows just keep getting lower, which is bad news. But if you want to pull yourself out of that and feel something a little bit different, then I'd say come support Arsenal.
I do think Josh was sold it a lot better than you did.
Yeah, I'm you know, I'm still hurt from our 2-0 loss to Brentford Friday.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that was key, that was pre the first game, because he did say when he first said, you know, we're sticking with Arteta, and then later said we're stuck with Arteta within like 30 seconds. So I think that kind of shows the mixed emotion that the Arsenal fans kind of have right now. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting season either way.
Yeah, you got to eat your mic a little
bit. I'm literally eating the microphone.
All right, that's better. That's how you got to talk. So yes, thank you, Jasper. Fantastic preview. And another thing that's fun about being an Arsenal fan is you can come and live tweet the games with me. That's always a good time. So highly encourage it, highly discourage it. It's your own funeral if you decide to become an Arsenal fan. Don't end up like me, but end up like me. All right, Jimmy, where are we going next? Should we go to another North London side? Should we jump to Spurs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Jasper threw a jab at Spurs, so let's see if they throw any jabs at us.
In a world full of United, Cities, and Rovers, there is only one Hotspur.
Quick comment. This is exactly why you shouldn't be a Spurs fan, because that little rhyme that Matt just did. Anyways, back to Matt.
We are Tottenham Hotspur. Hey, everyone. I'm Matt. I'm the creator and host of Tottenham Podspur, a podcast and YouTube channel. You guessed it. Talking all things Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. Very happy and excited to be here partnering with the Mostly Soccer Guys to give you a preview of Spurs' upcoming 2021-22 Premier League season. and see where we can go from there. Just a quick about me and my show. You can follow me on Twitter at Tottenham Pod. Check me out on the web at podspur.com and type in Podspur TV on YouTube to check out the YouTube channel, which you can actually go back and watch this clip as I am recording this, and we'll post it on the YouTube channel as well. So to give the mostly soccer guys what they want, start off with a quick history and club background of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. As of late, you may have known us as the team without trophies, and that's true to a point. Nothing recent, no trophies since 2008, but before that, plenty of FA Cup, League Cups, and trophies abound. But it's the what have you done for me lately that is the train wreck of being a Tottenham Hotspur supporter. We are commonly referred to as the Harry Kane Club, and as I am recording this on Thursday, August 5th, Harry Kane has still not reported to training, so that might not even stick for too long. But you want to ask Heung-Min Son about if we're the Harry Kane Club or not after he scored those goals against City in the Champions League knockout stages a few years back. He'll ask you if you know who he is. Last season, a bit of a debacle. Jose Mourinho fired days before a League Cup final versus Manchester City. Spurs finished seventh in the Premier League table. It was a bit of a train wreck from the start to the end, with Ryan Mason taking charge for that cup final. Very much underachieved, underperformed, knocked out a little earlier than we hoped in the Europa League and in the tie that we should have won. The season outlook for this season, it's different. We have Nuno Espirito Santo in charge. We have Fabio Paratici, our new director of football, to hopefully loosen up Daniel Levy, our chairman's purse strings. As of today, new center back Christian Romero from Atalanta had just flown to London. Fabrizio Romero already gave it the here we go contract, done deal, signed, everything good with Atalanta. So hopefully he'll be leading our back line for years to come. We're also looking to bring in another center back, a striker, and a creative midfielder. There have been many links, and you can follow me on Twitter to hear all about those. And again, all of that will depend on the Harry Kane situation, which I must say, sell him. We got to get something for him now. He's got glass ankles. He's 28. It'll piss off some fans, but Kane's got to go. He doesn't want to play for the club anymore. He can go to Oil Money FC in Manchester. Some new players and prospects to look for would definitely be Christian Romero, that center back that I mentioned. You may have seen him feature for Argentina in the Copa. He's a very physical, commanding, fiery center back. So excited to have him on our squad. Oliver Skip returns to Spurs from a loan deal at Norwich City. So would like to see him paired up with our Viking midfielder, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, and see what that duo can do. As well as the return of Ryan Sessegnon from a loan deal at Hoffenheim. I think he can really push Sergio Reguilón on that left-hand side for some playing time. This is the year that Sonny becomes the main man at Spurs, in my opinion. If you're new to the scene and, you know, want to know why to support Spurs, I think that this you know, new era of after Harry Kane and how we potentially spend that Harry Kane money could be absolutely monumental for the club, and having a director of football like Fabio Paratici, formerly of Juventus, in charge to do that, I think is quite the man for the rebuild. Mauricio Pochettino, our former manager, once said that it was going to be a painful rebuild at Spurs, and for me, it's only come down to one thing. It comes down to one name, and that is Harry Kane leaving this club. I know this was a bit more negative, but I do think he's gone. I look for Spurs to still finish top half of the table. I'm looking at maybe seventh again, sixth as the ceiling. But it's going to be an interesting and a very transformative time at Spurs. Like I said, go check out my YouTube. You can watch. I have this year's away kit on. It's pretty out of this galaxy. I'll let you decide and get your thoughts on that. But thanks for your time. Cheers. Come on.
All right, Matt, Jimmy, I want to hear your thoughts first. I jumped in, so I want to hear your thoughts.
First, I felt bad that you jumped in. Then I listened to Matt speak and attack my team for no good reason.
Oil Money FC. He's not wrong. What?
I'm glad you jumped in. I'm glad you cut him off. I'm glad you bashed Spurs, as they deserve to be bashed.
He didn't have anything negative to say about Arsenal, which was interesting.
He attacked my team when he attacked your team. This is bullshit.
That was a very realistic preview.
And it was.
I'm glad that we got that from Matt, because he's a fellow Rhode Islander, and I'm not grounded as a Rhode Islander. I think you're a little bit more level-headed than me when it comes to your team. But Matt was, like, as a fan from the outside looking in, I'm impressed by how unbiased that opinion was.
I agree. I think he was right, too. I think we've said on here, like, for literally, I think, like, 4 or 5 months now about Harry Kane. Moving on from Harry Kane at this time, at his age, is the best things for all three parties involved. It's the best thing for City that need a striker. It's the best thing for Kane to try to win. And it's the best thing for Spurs for a chance to actually bring in a great deal of money to try to refresh and rebuild this club that clearly had plateaued. Yeah. So I agree. I think he was spot on.
Yeah. The Harry Kane take, it's not really surprising because I've spoke to Matt just over Twitter and he's been pretty clear that he's Kane out. And like you said, we both agree. It will be interesting to see where Spurs will go from here. You know, as an Arsenal fan, I can't in good conscience recommend that anyone support Spurs. You won't feel any real joy like winning a trophy. It just won't happen, unfortunately. I'm sorry to any Tottenham fans listening or to be Tottenham fans. It's just not how it works. But Spurs, they are obviously a good, fun team to watch. We watched them beat City over this weekend. I mean, City are really just like, they can't beat Spurs for some reason ever.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's just a bizarre thing. But I'm not going to recommend them. Support Spurs at your own peril, much like Arsenal support them at your own risk.
Absolutely.
All right, Jimmy. Let's keep going with the London clubs and let's hear from our friend Brandon over at the London is Blue podcast telling us about why you should support Chelsea.
I think he's going to be a little more positive.
What is going on, everybody? This is Brandon from the London is Blue podcast, a very much biased Chelsea FC podcast. In case you were getting ready for the upcoming Premier League season and looking for a team, might I introduce you to the Mighty Blues of West London, also known as the reigning champions of Europe. That is right. We are the best team in that continent, proven by winning the UEFA Champions League. You probably thought that was a pretty big deal. Our good friend Christian Pulisic, fellow American, out there on the pitch, doing the business, winning it. Like I said, Chelsea, we like to talk about the club, is founded way back in 1905. 2003, bought by Russian mega-rich Uber billionaire, and he's been pumping money into the club. We've been buying some amazing, exciting players. But it all comes down to winning trophies. Chelsea is ruthless when it comes to winning trophies. No manager is safe. No player is safe. If you are underperforming or under-delivering, you are gone. So if you are a person who expects your team to win 1 to 4 trophies every single season, Chelsea is your jam. I promise you that. Look, ahead of the season, Chelsea are looking to splash the UEFA Champions League cash. We are being tied to some of the biggest names in the world coming to Chelsea, and that is what a big club does. We have big club mentality, big club energy. It is so much fun watching Roman Abramovich pump money into this club because he has success on his mind, and that is it. As I continue to think about reasons why any of you would want to join the Chelsea fan wagon, it's really simple. Exciting football, exhilarating football, one of the best coaches in the world, or a manager, if you're proper about it. Thomas Tuchel, all right? He is a serial winner. He has a very progressive mindset. Chelsea don't sit back and defend. They look to break teams down, play on the counterattack, play offensively dominant football. We created we're the teams with some of the most chances created in the entirety of Europe last season. Did we score all the goals? No, but that's why we're looking for another goal scorer, because it wasn't good enough. All right. A lot of excitement, a lot of oohs and ahs as Chelsea inch their way, looking for a domestic treble this season. Should be pretty simple, except for Manchester City. Other than that, I don't really see too much competition. I just want you to feel the excitement, feel the passion. That's what Chelsea Football Club brings to it. What a hilarious marketing campaign we had 2 years ago. Thrilling since 1905. Yeah, thrilling on good days and bad days. But I tell you what, Chelsea are always going to give you something to talk about at the end of the match. You're going to go from winning 5-0 against Everton to losing 2-0 to Burnley the next weekend. It's going to keep you on the edge of your seat. It's going to be fun. What an amazing community is, as I am completely biased. The Chelsea community are one of the best, except for when we lose. But hey, what fan group isn't? Anyways, I don't know what else to tell you. We're the champions of Europe. We're the best team in Europe. If you want to be with the winning club, if you personally have a winning mentality, Chelsea is literally the only club for you. Roman Abramovich, the owner, he doesn't use it to make money. He uses it to win trophies. Hashtag chaos and trophies.
Hashtag chaos and trophies. That's a fair assessment of Chelsea. Jimmy is angry at Brandon after that.
I'm not angry. So I do feel like we almost like these people are all trying to rile me up. I do feel almost like that. But I want to talk first about the fact that I think he has the 100% right mindset, which is his positivity about Abramovich, which other think of how much he and other owners of certain clubs get attacked. He takes it the right way. Should love your owner when you have an owner like that. Don't let other people's negativity and the way they try to bash you cloud your judgment. Love the fact that he's trying to do everything he can to win. I respect that.
The human rights violations, potentially, we always put on the back burner as soccer
as fans. It's yeah, that's a whole... We're not going to get into that right now.
Oh, God.
But I will say you had to go there. I do want to say one thing. It should be easy for the domestic trouble was a bit of a stretch, I think.
Chelsea are a powerhouse. Let's not understate this. If I were a new fan, especially being American with Christian Pulisic, I would probably be leaning towards Chelsea. They signed Lukaku since Brandon recorded this. I think Brandon had an inkling because in his email, which was a week or two ago, he mentioned... I'm sad that I didn't get to talk more about new signings.
Yeah,
Brandon's an insider. But yeah, the domestic travel stuff, Brandon is very confident. I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's a lot of competition in the league this year.
Yeah, I think Chelsea are a great squad. I think that they play in a way that's very, very difficult for teams to beat them. So I completely agree with his positivity. It borders on a little bit of arrogance there, and that can get you in trouble, but he should be positive.
I wish I had any cause to be arrogant as an Arsenal fan, because you know once Arsenal get good, I'll be insufferable.
Oh, I know. That's why God is never is never going to give you that.
That's why I'm being punished. But yeah, London is Blue podcast, give them a listen. Go check them out if you're interested in Chelsea, or continue listening to the Mostly Soccer podcast.
I don't know why you said it like that.
I don't know.
I agree with you, but I don't know if I can support the way you said it.
Our man Will should cut that out. Will is our new editor.
All right. Big Willie. Take care
Big
of that.
Will, take care of that. Or don't. See if we care. See if we care. All right, Jimmy. Let's go to someplace else. Let's go to Manchester, but let's go to the red side of Manchester first. Let's hear from our friends over at the American Red Devils podcast.
We are the American Red Devils. I am John.
I'm Alex.
And we bring you the best Manchester United news every week on our weekly Manchester United podcast. We're here to tell you why Manchester United is the number one team in all the land, sir. I'm not even going to say England because, you know, that would be doing us a disservice. The greatest club in English football. We have won it all. Manchester United is steeped in rich history, sir, founded in the late 1800s as Newton Heath would go on under the ownership of John Henry Davies to be renamed Manchester United, moved to the Old Trafford, the faithful ground, that great stadium. But where our history really lies is in 1958, the Munich air disaster, a plane that was taking off at Munich Airport that had Manchester United, the whole team on it. They were competing in the European Cup, and the fledgling European Cup crashed. Players died. The coach, Matt Busby, was on that plane. He was injured in the hospital for over a year. 10 years later, he takes what was left of the club, takes these great young players, and goes on to win the European Cup. The most amazing story, sir. Plane crash in 1958. Our first European Cup in 1968. We would go on to win much, much more. 20 league titles under Sir Alex Ferguson, the greatest coach in the history of all the sport. Everyone knows the boss. checking the watch on the sideline, sir. Our trophy cabinet is deep. Doubles, trebles. Nobody can compete in all of England, sir. The richest history in world football, to be honest. And it all began really with this disaster. We rose from the ashes. An amazing club, sir. Inspirational stuff. Manchester United. Tell them about our last season.
Sir, one of a kind this club is, and speaking of, you know, emerging from the ashes, United is certainly on the up. It's been eight dark years since the boss man, Sir Fergie, retired, and last year was a season on the up, ended in bitter disappointment. United did finish in second, short-lived league race with City, but ultimately finished in second and lost, basically tragically, but, horrible loss for most United fans in the Europa League final to Villarreal. In penalties of always. Not a real competition. Trophy would have been appreciated. The new manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, a famous player for the club that scored a last-minute goal in the 99 Cup final to win the treble, has steadied the ship of Manchester United under very poor owners and finally reintroduced the United way. Still needs to win silverware, but we're very much looking forward to this season.
Yeah, this season's going to be huge for Manchester United. Like you said, I think we saw great improvement under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We got second, like you said, Europa League. I mean, it's not really a competition that Manchester United, a big club, is concerned about. So we're worried about titles, Champions League, FA Cups, you name it. As far as Europa League, it's a write-off. I'm not concerned. This year, we got Jadon Sancho in, top player. You saw him at the Europa League. He's been killing it for Dortmund, as well as Rafael Varane. He's won everything with Real Madrid. These are big players coming to a big club and a big team. We are ready to go, sir. I think we're ready to compete with the big boys. City, they're a bunch of baby bitches. Chelsea, I mean, come on. Just look at that club. All the money you took from the big Russian crook. You got human rights violations all over this league. All this blood oil money. Manchester United, the reason why it's successful is because of its great history, sir. No one can take that away from us. And we are ready. We're back. I think the season's going to be amazing. You're going to see great attacking balance because the right wing was really something that we were struggling with. Sancho's going to slot in right away. And I think we're going to kick on for some silverware. Everyone should be excited about watching Manchester United this season. Sort of, the red kit just looks great.
The red kit looks great, and there's never been a better time to become a Manchester United fan. Bit of a goal drought, trophy drought, 4 years going, but no one's ever going to call you a fair-weather fan for hopping on the bandwagon now, and it's a great bandwagon to be on. The club is steeped with history. It's got the best away support in the Premier League, one of the best grounds in the Premier League, and the team is brimming with talent, huge acquisitions over the summer, Varane with his experience, what he's going to add in terms of the steel and pace in the back line, and then the excitement with Sancho, in addition to a Sir Marcus Rashford, a Bruno Fernandes, Tony Martial, Greenwood, et cetera, et cetera. What a team we have. What a club, one of a kind, Manchester United, baby.
Sir, we've traveled a lot throughout England, gone to a lot of grounds. There's not anything like going to a Manchester United game. There's not anything like sitting away. We're the big boys. We wear the big boy pants. We got the big boy trophies. We are Manchester United. Everyone else telling you why their club is great. They're just trying to make it up, sir. They're all selling you a little too hard. We are the American Red Devils. If you like Manchester United, you can hear a lot more about our history. Catch up on how the team is doing. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, etc., sir. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and let's hope for a great season.
Jimmy, if you thought that the Chelsea fans could be known as arrogant, I introduce to you Manchester United fans.
Yes.
It's a tough group.
So I have to say, one, they did great. They're fantastic. Hilarious. They're truly... Every year, they make me laugh every single time, give you great detail on the history and everything. But, I mean, I'm actually more upset with you. I feel like you purposely just riled me up more and more as we've gone along till this one came up and then really got me riled
little
up.
Baby bitches. Yeah.
I mean...
It's a good way to describe Manchester City.
I mean, it was a perfect example of who Manchester United are. I think they displayed it perfectly. Every one of their players, the best player in the world. Every other team stinks. It's going to be their year. We've heard the same thing for the last 5 years. We're going to hear the same thing for the next 5 years. In all seriousness, I do think that United, I said this last episode, I think they have a very good team. I think they're going in the right direction. Their fans have a lot of things to be excited about. And it will be even sweeter for that reason when they inevitably do not achieve any trophies again and we can laugh at them like we'd love to do.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't listened to the show before, we Oh, in the better days, we had a segment where we would literally just take almost a full minute just to laugh at Manchester United.
A full belly laugh. A
full belly laugh. It was one of the great joys of doing the podcast.
And they lost to the Borat team and everything. It was great.
The Borat team. It's a good time to become a United fan. I think they have a lot of great players. They have a lot of players who are likable at this point, which I don't think we would have said when we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. I think bar Bruno Fernandes, they have a lot of players that are likable, I should
That's
say.
That's perfectly said.
But Bruno is one of the best players in the league. Did score a hat trick first week. Also, they have Paul Pogba, who is another one of the best players in the league. The best probably on his day, aside from Kevin De Bruyne, four assists on his day, the first game of the season there. So yeah, super exciting time to become a United fan. I think we would both recommend against it. I still think there are too many United fans.
There's already too many. We don't need any more.
Also, I know it's bias when they say that Old Trafford is the best ground in the Premier League. But I think otherwise, Jimmy.
Well, we know you think otherwise.
I think otherwise.
We'll leave it there. I think I do want to say, though, if you are, like, if you've contemplated being a United fan and you've thought, do I have it in me? Now's the time to do it. But just know it's saying a lot about you as a person if you decide to support that team.
Think to yourself, do I have it in me? How big of a piece of shit am I? Then become a United fan.
Exactly.
Thank you to the boys over at the American Red Devils podcast. We love hearing from them. And next, Jimmy, we're going to hear from a friend of ours, a listener of the podcast, and a fellow Manchester City fan.
Hi, I'm John from the official Manchester City Supporters Club in Raleigh, North Carolina, and this is your Mostly Soccer podcast preview segment for Manchester City. To very briefly cover the history of Manchester City, the club officially became known by that name in 1894, and since then have won the title in the English top flight division 7 total times with 5 Premier League championships. City have also won the FA Cup 6 times and lifted the UEFA European Cup in 1970. City entered the 2021-2022 season as the defending champions, and they have a lot of pressure to retain their EPL title this year. The team is led by a mix of both elite veteran players, such as Kevin De Bruyne and Riyad Mahrez, and rising stars like Phil Foden and Ruben Diaz. The Blues also just added Jack Grealish to the squad, and fans are very excited to see what he can do in Manchester. It shouldn't be long before he becomes a fan favorite at the Etihad Stadium, though. It also remains to be seen if City can complete a rumored transfer for Harry Kane this transfer window, and if he does join the team, it will give manager Pep Guardiola an almost perfect player to fill in for former club legend Sergio Aguero, whose time in Manchester ended at the end of last season. With depth, talent, and Guardiola's tactics, City should be the odds-on favorite to repeat as EPL champions this season. However, the best teams on paper don't always win in the end, and a season can be derailed by any one of a myriad of reasons. Additionally, after falling short to Chelsea in the Champions League final last season, it remains to be seen how the players will be able to not only put that result behind them, but also recover physically from what was a summer with very little time for rest and recuperation. As for why you should be a City supporter, well, the answer is easy. The fans themselves. Despite their recent success, the essence of City has remained unchanged throughout the years. It's why fans still sing songs with lyrics like, "We never went at home and we never went away." And unlike other clubs who have developed a sense of entitlement based on past success, such as a certain other team in Manchester, you won't find that at all in City fans. We're not only grateful that our club has become one of the best in the world, but we half expect the team to be relegated down to the English third division somehow at any given moment. But even if that did happen, the fans would still fill the stadium singing Blue Moon every game. That's what it means to be City, and that's why you should cheer for the Blues. Thanks again to the Mostly Soccer podcast guys for doing these previews. Hope that everyone enjoys it, and let's go City.
Jimmy, I think that was a great preview, Jimmy.
You're so mean. No,
that was a fantastic preview from our friend JD Siegley on Twitter, whose name is John, but yep. I just found out he goes by JD on Twitter. Sounded a little bit like a robot.
No, here's the thing. So I want to talk about what John said, but I do want to say he had very much, he gave me very much vibes of a YouTube video that is photos with like voiceover at the top. He gave me very much the vibes of that. Like, you know, like those history videos and it shows like pictures like Athens. Athens is a city in Greece.
He did such and,
like,
a good
like, it did give me vibes of that.
He did a great job. Let's just say that. And we apologize for ripping you.
Well, this is kind of what we do. We have people on and then we rip into everything they say.
It's true.
So you know what you're getting into when you're doing this. But I want to say, I think he was spot on with what he said about why the sports city, because it doesn't get talked about enough. There's all the digs at City. I'm not even going to bring them up. I won't even give them the light of day because they don't deserve it. But if you interact with any City fans and you see the history of the fans, how they supported this club when it was in the third division, this team has a very loyal fan base that has seen their club transform into this championship squad that they are now, of these star-studded players. And I think it's incredible to see. Obviously, winning's great if you're looking for a reason to. But I would say more so, and this is the reason I fell in love with the team, is like, watch them play. And it's been different styles. For me, it was back at, like, you know, prior to all of the Pep thing and back with Mancini and all of that. But it's, if you watch this team play, granted the last few games, the inability to score at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, but they play with the intention of dominating the other team, with not wanting them to have the ball. If there's any reason to watch team is just see the way they play. When City are at their best, it's like few teams out there to see the way that they can play. So I think there's a lot of reasons to support City. Obviously, I've talked about City on all this pod. I'm not going to keep going. But I think he did a great job to spell it out. I do think he should say team desperately needs a striker. Really, really, really bad.
That's true.
Poor Gabriel Jesus getting forgot about. But I think that'll be key to see what City do. I do love how he called out arrogance of other teams just after we did the
literally,
same thing. So,
like, we picked a perfect order, yes, having not listened to these, because each segment got more arrogant than the last.
Yes.
And then JD just called everyone out on their bullshit, which was fantastic. Becoming a City fan, I don't know. It's kind of like being a United fan. Does the world need more City fans? Probably not. It's not a great time if you don't want to be called a bandwagon fan. Mm-hmm. But if you like watching beautiful football under the Pep Guardiola system, which can sometimes be infuriating to watch, as you know, I was rooting for City over the weekend and it was a little bit infuriating to watch them play in their Man City style and be bested by a simple counterattack.
I will say, I think a lot of it has to do with not having a full squad, with players just coming back.
Yeah, of course.
And also, obviously, just not having an actual striker right now.
That hurts.
That will make a big difference. I promise you, if this team has Harry Kane in a month and a half, 2 months, when you see that team play, it's going to be something completely different.
They will be terrifying. But Jimmy, I think let's do one more before we call this podcast.
Sounds good.
And let's go to Everton. We had a new submission for Everton. I believe it's Toffee Paul. So let's hear from the man himself.
You wouldn't know it by watching Sky Sports, but Everton are one of the oldest and most successful clubs in England. Founded in 1878, the Blues are a founding member of the Football League and have won 9 league titles and FA Cups, as well as having players like single season scoring record hold setter Dixie Dean and England World Cup heroes Alan Ball and Ray Wilson. In the strange season that was 2021, Everton got off to a good start as they were unbeaten in their first 5 matches with 4 wins and a draw as they started their first full season under Carlo Ancelotti in fine style. However, that kind of form didn't last as Everton only won 13 of the final 33 season games left in the season and only added 33 or more goals. The season ended with a crash as they fell to champions, Manchester City 5-0, and finished 10th. Ancelotti left for Real Madrid, turned the off-season into a circus. Impossible that perhaps the most controversial management appointment in English football history, former Liverpool manager Rafael Benitez was hired by Everton's chief shareholder, Fahed Mashiri. Benitez once called Everton a small club after Merseyside derby and still has to explain that remark. Despite the negative reaction to Benitez, the Spaniard seems determined to put his stamp on the club. He is far more involved with training than Ancelotti was, and his voice can be often heard in videos about Everton training. He's let it be known that James Rodriguez and Moise Keane will be allowed to leave if the right bid comes in. Rodriguez is by far the most creative player at Everton, but he's also very injury prone. Keane has yet to prove himself in the Premier League after scoring in double figures while on loan at PSG with 17 goals and 41 appearances. So it makes prediction what Everton will do a little bit hard. It's possible they could finish as high as 6th if everything goes right. However, they could also finish as low as 12th. Everton currently are hamstrung by poor buys in the past and bad contracts, and therefore are in danger of falling afoul of the financial fair play rules. Yet Everton still have some pretty obvious bad needs at right back, where club stalwart Seamus Coleman at 32 is definitely on his last legs, physically and figuratively. Everton also needs more depth out wide, and possibly more creativity in central, and definitely more creativity in central midfield. So far, Everton have spent less than $3 million in buying Damari Gray, Andros Townsend, and Asmir Begovic. Townsend and Gray should help address the wide areas somewhat. The three key players in Richardson, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and Jordan Pickford missed the majority of the preseason as a result of international tournaments. As long as Yerry Mina, and why should you support Everton? Well, usually it's because your family and friends that you follow the original team on Merseyside. But if you're not a bandwagon jumper and want to become part of a special community, Everton is a team for you.
All right, Paul.
Let's go.
I think that last bit is very Everton. It's like, it's a family and friends thing to support Everton. It's a community thing, which is at the heart of supporting a Premier League club. But it's so sad that Everton fans literally have no like expectation anymore.
It's so weird too, because it's like I feel back last year, the high had gotten so high. The new owner, they spent money. They brought in Ancelotti, brought in James, and then once Ancelotti ran away to go back to Real Madrid, and like you said,
a circus
created a circus.
That was awesome.
It really did. It's interesting. I think Benitez, I'm a Rafa Benitez guy. I do. I think he's a great manager. He brought in my guy, Townsend. I mean,
fuck off.
It's hard to not get me excited.
Literally fuck off about Andros Townsend.
That's my guy. Always will. I'll ride with that guy. I hope this year it can finally prove me right.
Yeah. How long has he been in the Premier League? He hasn't proved anyone right who has said anything positive about him the entire time.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. He's 30 years old. Oof.
He was free, though.
He was a free transfer.
But yeah, Everton, if I were going to have a friend start watching the Premier League, I would suggest Everton to them. I had always said that Everton was my secondary club that I would enjoy watching. But it kind of felt like that has gone to the wayside a little bit for me since Leeds have been introduced to me. I love Leeds and the way that they play. So I don't know. Everton is very difficult if you're a new fan. I think Paul said it best when he said it's really about the family and friends and the community. We've met some great people who are Everton fans. Famously Men in Blazers, Roger Bennett, who is a phenomenal podcaster and I don't know, just a showman, is an Everton fan. And he basically describes it the same way. So, yeah, a lot to like about Everton, a lot to dislike. But, Jimmy, I don't know, do you have any closing comments on Everton? You looked like you did.
I mean, Everton are always in a tough situation because they're always trying to push on. And at this point, I feel like this year, like we said, that the expectations are lowered this year.
Yeah.
I do think they've made some good signings. I do. I think like Damari Gray is someone whom people just a few years ago were so hyped up at Leicester. It hasn't really worked out for him. Maybe a change of scenery is what works. I'm interested to see what happens with Moise Kean. It looks like to me, I think he's going to leave. I mean, he's being linked to possibly go back to Italy now with Fiorentina, I believe. I still think they should keep him and give him a shot, but I mean, it's going to be interesting. I always feel somewhat connected with the Everton fans for their relationship against Liverpool. I view it very similarly to how City's relationship against United is. So for that reason, I feel some type of kinship with them. So I do wish the best for Everton. I think Raf is a good manager. I just don't think that they have what it takes. Like their goal last season was very clear, to try to push on to those Champions League spots. I don't think that's in the picture this year. I think fighting to try to make a Europa League berth is going to be the goal. I don't know if they'll quite get there, but we'll see. It's going to be an interesting year either way. I think it's almost kind of like a transition period again, and it seems like it shouldn't be so soon, but it feels like it is.
I know. Well, that's what happens when your manager unexpectedly jumps ship for Real Madrid in the offseason. But anyways, Jimmy, we've covered six teams here of the 20. I guess we're going to do three or four parts of this just to not get them so long. But anyways, Jimmy, I think my preview was the worst after following up Jasper. I stumbled over my words. I wish Will would cut the whole thing out, but we can't. Don't do it, Will. But anyways, Jimmy, do you want to hit him with the plugs before we go?
Yes, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. Email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. We still do have some clubs that we're looking for, so we may be, you know, putting out some tweets or reaching out to people to try to get those filled in. And then, like Michael said, we'll drop this as either a three or four part episode, so be on the lookout for the next one.
Yes, and as always, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.